chosen for our meditation this morning is found recorded in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Heavenly Father, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Our Lord's coming at Christmas invites us to be filled with the Spirit, that he might indeed continually thus come into our hearts in the new year ahead. You may have picked up a bottle of wine or some other holiday spirits as an appropriate form of celebrating the gift of the new year, celebrating with joy and thanksgiving to the Lord. On the other hand, notice the contrast in our text between being filled with the Holy Spirit and being filled with spirits. The coming of our Lord calls us to rouse our spirit by the former, not the latter. To be filled with spirits, our text says, is dissipation, a reckless choice that does not save yourself or others. To rely on spirits to supposedly solve some earthly problem or think that, you know, this is what's going to create joy in my life, that's dissipation. So what is dissipation? Not a common word, probably. Well, it means to abandon what is right, to overindulge. When we abandon what is right, moral behavior, lawful behavior, godly restraint, we also are abandoning the path of Jesus' love, the path that saves, for a path that brings disease, destruction, devastation, and death. But that friend comes along with a group and says, hey, you know, let's go drinking. It'll be spirited fun. And yet, what foolish idolatry it is to think that the chemical warping of our brain is what's going to provide a resolution of problems or lasting joy or real life. God instead warns that the sinful use of spirits is a lie of Satan that's right up there with his first one. You know, go ahead and eat the fruit. You won't die. You'll be like God. So with the spirits of alcohol, Satan, the world, and friends would entice us to make foolish choices that lead to destruction. 6,000 years of the history of this world. Pretty convincing record if you look at it. Satan's lies have continually produced disease, destruction, devastation, and death. So be filled with the Holy Spirit, that Christ coming in your heart may fill your new year. When someone is under the influence, it affects all of their acting and thinking, and it creates an urgent desire for more. So notice then, in the comparison of our text, it's pointing out that we should be bringing all of our acting and thinking under the influence of the Holy Spirit and nourish that urgent desire the Holy Spirit creates to make melodies in our heart to the Lord. Yes, to be filled with the Holy Spirit for the Lord's coming in our life. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 is an interesting parallel passage because it has the exact phrases of our text except for one. Instead of the words, "be filled with the Spirit," it substitutes as an equivalent, "let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." So find and follow all the riches of Christ's word, for that's what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit, for the Lord filling your life in this new year. Sadly, many people claim that they are filled with the Spirit, and yet are unwilling to follow God's word in some areas of their life, apparently presuming they know better than God. How often have we been tempted or succumbed to the same thought? And yet this chapter of Ephesians is reminding us that being filled with the Holy Spirit is the very cold, sober work of cutting off sin in daily repentance and being washed clean in the holy, precious blood of Jesus Christ. He was abandoned instead of you and me, that we might be cleansed in His blood. And yet in the midst of that terrible suffering, He never abandoned His Father's will, that His perfect righteousness might clothe you in the radiance of eternal bliss. Being filled with the Spirit is then living by and for Jesus' coming, living by His coming at Christmas, living by His coming into your hearts, and living for His coming again. For He is the only saving way. Yes, this world, our flesh, sometimes friends, would like to intoxicate you into making choices that lead to dissipation. But that makes our lives nothing but a biological crawl from womb to tomb. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, for the Lord's coming in your life throughout the new year. Speaking then in an embattled no to our sinful flesh, and a triumphant yes to all the promises of God in Christ Jesus. For in Christ, you will ride the cresting wave of God's purpose that will break on the shore destined to be your everlasting and delightful home. Amen. The second word of God that we would consider this morning is found right after our first scripture lesson in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So far, our text. How do you get out of a slump? You know, your team that should have been on the way to the Super Bowl or the NBA Finals just kept losing games. Your shot, the one you seldom miss, just won't go in. That sale you normally close keeps walking out the door. Your job performance just is not meeting your boss's or your own expectations. That high note you normally nail, you just keep missing. Well, what about our attitude of faith? We know what it should be, but it still keeps being shrouded by discouragement, doubt, or even despair. What should we do? Well, a coach might tell us, get your mind focused. Eliminate this bad form. Or, be confident. Indeed, if our minds are dwelling on some nagging problem, or maybe thinking about somebody out in the audience, or thinking, I just can't do it, those can indeed throw everything off. And that was exactly the problem in our text. Jesus came into this world, he came to his own. And for quite a while, many of them were enthralled with his message and his miracles. But most of them did not receive him. Why? We're shown. Because their minds were focused on the wrong things. Their minds were focused on having an earthly bread king, on not having the hard sayings that Jesus had spoken, and on the accusations against Jesus that the Jewish leaders had brought. Their minds were in the wrong place, and so didn't see Jesus for who he was. We've been there, haven't we? Again and again. We don't intend to sin, but we are just so filled with what we want that we lose our focus on Jesus, and our spiritual life is in a slump. Even every spiritual effort that we make is still contaminated with that me-first idolatry. And so, without our focus on Jesus, every attempt misses the mark. Our coach, the Holy Spirit, supplies the remedy for such a slump. Repent. Get your mind turned back to where it belongs. Get it focused on Jesus. And yet, you know, even with a nagging earthly problem, no matter how much we tell ourselves, hey, I shouldn't be thinking this way, I should get my mind where it belongs, we often can't do it. That nagging problem just holds on to our thoughts. We can't turn it where it belongs. But our coach, the Holy Spirit, comes to help us. He helps us by reminding us of all the things that Jesus has done for you. Dying to redeem you and me from the guilt of all of our sins. Arising out of death to deliver you and me from the death that we deserve. Ascending into heaven to give to you and me every good thing, and so reminding us of all the works of Jesus, enabling us to once again repent, to get our mind turned back where it belongs, focused on Jesus. Sometimes our coach also may have to point out to us that we've fallen into a bad form. And because of that, it's throwing off our shot, our sail, that high note we want to nail. And yes, our spiritual attitude. That also had happened with Jesus at the time of his coming. At his birth, they were just so busy. They didn't take the time to follow the star and worship their newborn king. At his arrest, just a few weeks before our text, they went along with the crowd, maybe even joining in the refrain, "Crucify him!" And now, to turn back would mean to expose and condemn themselves. How often has it happened with us? We've gone along with a group or with a friend, perhaps teasing, making fun of someone else, maybe joining in the gossip, maybe pursuing some entertainment that excites our lust, or in the failure, in the neglect of our devotional time with Jesus. And we're in a spiritual slump. Our coach, the Holy Spirit, supplies the remedy to our slump. Eliminate this bad form. But once again, you know, when somebody points out to us that we've fallen into a bad form, it's not always something we can just eliminate. We've formed a habit, and it's hard to correct. And our flesh has all kinds of excuses. Hey, everyone's doing it. I can't help it. What does it really matter? But the Holy Spirit says, beware. Staying in a spiritual slump in sin can lead to being cut from the one team that is eternal. Our coach, the Holy Spirit, directs us to our baptism. We may not want to condemn ourselves, but baptism creates the faith that repents. It creates this repentance, and it announces to the repentant, you are now clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ Himself. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, clothed in His righteousness. And so God Himself enables us to drown our sinful flesh, to take that sinful habit and push it under the water and hold it there till it perishes. Our sinful habits have the bad form, though, of popping back up even after we thought we've killed them. And once again, we need to drown them. Baptism is God's promise to you. You are my holy child in Christ Jesus. A promise that empowers us to strive to live as Jesus wants us to live. Sometimes a coach may also tell us, hey, be confident. But you know, like whistling in the dark to try and scare away fear, telling somebody that's having doubts, hey, just be confident. Just doesn't work very well. That was true of Jesus' people at the time of His coming. Acknowledging that they had crucified the Lord of glory, they cried out, what shall we do? They saw no hope then in themselves. How can we possibly be saved? And isn't it the same with us? When we realize how we have sinned against Jesus, how can I possibly be saved? Where can we find confidence then? Our coach, the Holy Spirit, supplies the remedy. Be confident, for the blood of Jesus Christ, God's own Son, cleanses you from all unrighteousness. He has covered it all. He is the propitiation, not only for your sins, but for the sins of the whole world. Yes, our very sin proves that we are part of that world, that He died to atone for. And therefore, His blood cleanses you, washes away your sins in Him, in Jesus Christ. We can have absolute confidence. Yes, our coach, the Holy Spirit, continually trains us to focus on Jesus, to eliminate the bad forms. And it's through this Spirit-powered daily battle with sin that He brings us out of every slump to renew confidence in Jesus. For in Jesus Christ, we've already won. And for Jesus Christ, we'll give our best shot. Amen. Please arise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.